shiur was sponsored by Rabbi Harris in memory of Milton Kadish. So we thank him for that. I had a very busy Shabbos this Shabbos because I had my sister-in-law's Shabbos Sheva Brachas. So my preparation wasn't as mesuder as usual, but I also, the mela came up. The good side is that I came up with some arma kaimas that aren't usual either. So it should be interesting. Parshas Behar. The last pasuk in Parshas Behar is Es Shabbosai Tishmoiru. You should keep my Shabbos. U'mikdashi tiro, and you should have awe from my mikdash, from my Beis HaMikdash. Ani Hashem. Which is a pasuk that's an exact replica, repetition of a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim that also says Es Shabbosai Tishmoiru. U'mikdashi tiro, Ani Hashem. And Mefarshim discussed why the repetition. Maybe we'll get to it also. The mikdash that we're discussing, when we say mikdashi tiro, simply, and if you look in the chinuch, for example, he says mikdashi tiro is that a person has to have awe from the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara goes through different things that a person is not allowed to do when he's by the Beis HaMikdash. Different things. A person can't go with his walking stick. He can't walk in by the Makom HaMikdash himself. A person is not allowed to wear shoes. Different things that he has to do to show his awe from the Mikdash. Lo yikonei sodom b'har habayis b'makloi b'minoloi b'pundosoi b'avak shal gabi raglav, with the dust on his feet. He has to make sure that he's clean. He shouldn't make it a shortcut. And this is true even b'zman hazeh, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, still that makom, the place that the Beis HaMikdash was in, is still b'kedusha asay. The Gemara says that we see from this pasuk that the pasuk compares the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash to the kedusha of Shabbos. Es Shabbosai say tishmoru u'mikdashi tiro. And just like Shabbos is la'olam, we never have a Shabbos that we skip. We never have a Shabbos that doesn't have kedusha. So too, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is La'olam. Even when there's no more Beis HaMikdash, we still have to have awe from the place of the Beis HaMikdash, which gives a particular sharpness to the tzar that we have, that the Makom HaMikdash is used for the worship of Elohim Acherim. Because the same chiyuv of awe that we have when the Beis HaMikdash is built still exists today. Someone goes to the Kaisel, so he has a chiyuv, a mitzvah sasei, as mikdashi tiro, how he acts by the Kaisel. I've heard that people are critical, like too much dancing and singing and all kinds of ceremonies that happen by the Kaisel, if they're not in the ruach of mikdashi tiro. There's a Beis HaMikdash there. And there's a pasuk, a famous pasuk in Yecheskel that says that I will be v'ehi lohem mikdash ma'at. It discusses the concept of a mikdash ma'at, a small Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara Megillah says, elu batei kneisiyos u'batei midrashos. That's a shul and a Beis HaMedrash. It's a mikdash ma'at, it's a small Beis HaMikdash. And based on that concept is a sugya in Masechet Megillah that discusses all the halachas of what we are or not allowed to do in a shul or a Beis HaMedrash. The interesting question, is that a deraisa or a derabanan? If somebody treats a shul improperly, is he over a mitzvah saseh deraisa as mikdashi tiro, because a shul is also called a mikdash? Is that a biblical mitzvah saseh that a person is mechayev to treat a beis hakneses with respect? Or is it a drasha? You have to have respect for the Beis HaMikdash. So Chazal understood that this is also like a Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is that there are those who say like this and those who say like that. I think there's a Prima Gadim that says that it's only Derabanan. The Rishonim that are medayik about it. This Tei Chemed, which is a 10 volume sefer, packed with information that you won't find anywhere else, has the first few volumes on Ma'arachos, like subjects, like an encyclopedia, goes on the Seder of Aleph Beis. And you can pick a phrase or a concept, and it has it there alphabetically arranged, and it has their mountains of information. It's hard to go through a few paragraphs of it. It's so much information. So he has, in the beginning, in Chelek Aleph, he has a chapter called Beis HaKnesses. And he goes through all the Shitas that say it's the Rabbanon, and all the Shitas that say it's the Reis. It's like three pages. I'm not going to do that. But he brings the Mabit. The Mabit wrote a sefer called the Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. He also wrote a sefer called Beis HaLekim on Tefillah. But a sefer called Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. And I couldn't find it in the Kiryas Sefer. When I looked myself in the Kiryas Sefer, the Maramaka must be a mistake. But he says that the Mabit assumes the Pashtas that having respect for a shul is a Chiyuv Dairaisa. He brings a Re'eim, Rebbe Lezer Mimitz, also one of the Rishayim, the Sefer Yireim, also says that the, as a Pashtus, he understands simply that respect for a shul is a mitzvah deraisa. And he brings the Chayyadam, the Chayyadam is one of the big Paiskim, the Mishnah Berurah bases a lot of his Pesachim on the Chayyadam. And the Chayyadam is broken up, we used to things being broken up into Simanim, the Chayyadam is broken up into Klalim. And the Chayyadam, based on the, on this Re'eim, also assumes that it's deraisa. Just interesting to read the forcefulness of the Chayyadim in Klal Yud Zayin, Sifkat and Vav, Sif Vav. Kedushas beis haKnesses ubeis haMedrash. The Kedusha of a Shul or a beis Medrash, Gedayla Ma'od, is tremendous. The holiness of a Shul is tremendous. Umuzharim Aleihem, and we are warned, the Torah warns us, Lira Mimisha Shaychin Bohem, to have awe from the one who dwells in it. So now we're not having, we'll discuss this more later, we're not having awe from the floor or from the walls, but from the recognition that Hashem is there. Hashem is in a shul. Kidechsiv u'mikdashi tiro. V'loi beis hamikdash v'lvad. That's not just referring to a beis hamikdash. Ela kol makim hamikudash. Any holy place. U'beis hamedrash nikro mikdash ma'at. And a beis hamedrash is also called a mikdash. Because for Hapoiskim, the mitzvah zu lira min hamikdash noyeg bebeis haKnesses ubebeis hamedrash midai raisa. That the chiyuv to have respect for a shul or beis hamedrash is a din dai raisa. V'lochein, and then he starts going through the different the different chiyuvim. Very strong words. The kedusha of a beis haKnesses, beis hamedrash is gedayla ma'od. Mishnah Berurah brings, and this was just the beginning of the frightening things that I saw. Is sometimes you like stumble on a landmine. You suddenly like you're learning a halacha, and suddenly you realize there's something extraordinary going on here, something awesome going on. He says, "V'kasav b'smak." The smak writes, "Shaba avoyin kalus roish v'beis haKnesses," that because of the avera of Kalos Roish, of not treating the Beis HaKnesses with the proper respect, Nehepachim lebeis avodas gelulim chas v'shalim. Shuls get turned into churches as a punishment for that avera. So, you know, you take a step back, like, there's something serious going on here. But that was just the beginning of the serious things that I discovered. Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a sefer al HaTorah called Tam Vidas al HaTorah. And on the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, as Mikdashi Tiro, he writes things that ordinarily I would have dismissed as rumors, except that Moshe Sternbuch you don't dismiss. He writes that it's well known that the Gzeiris of Tach V'tat, which those were Gzeiris, there were pogroms in those years, that he says wiped out a third of Yiddishkeit. That was what Yidden knew as the Holocaust, before the Holocaust. Wiped out a third of Yiddishkeit, horrible pogroms, and it was a massive tragedy for Klal Yisrael. For us, it was overshadowed by the Holocaust, so we don't think about it that much. But there are kinnis about it, and on Tisha B'Av, and if you read the kinnis, it can rip your neshama out, the terrible tzaras of Tach V'tat. He says it's well known that the Gedolim attribute it to not having enough respect in shuls and beis medrashes.
Well,
because of the Tach V'tat. And then he goes on to say, which is incredible. He says that he knows somebody, he says who it is, I didn't recognize the name, someone who's alive, who heard from the Imre Emes, the Gera Rebbe. The Imre Emes said that if you notice, the Holocaust that we had was only suffered by Ashkenazi Jewry. The Sfardim was spared the Holocaust. And he says, the reason, the Gera Rebbe said, the reason is because Sfardim know how to have respect for a shul. And I was discussing last night with somebody, and he told me that he heard that in Syria and the other Sfardish Medinas, they had a klal that when they settled a new town, nobody would build a house until the shul was built. They would live in tents. They would not live, just like David HaMelech said, how could I live in a house of wood while HaKadosh Baruch Hu was living in a tent? They would build a shul first. They would live in the, you know, in the open, vulnerable. The first Rabbanu Shalom has to have a house. In sharp contrast to what I saw a couple of years ago, I went to visit a neighborhood, a very, very, very extravagant, fancy neighborhood. Huge estates, tremendous Jewish neighborhood, tremendous houses. And there was one house there that compared to all the other houses, it looked like a garage. That was the shul. I felt embarrassed. Whether or not we should have such big fancy houses or not, that's for another time. Maybe there's a time and place and reason for it. But that the shul should look embarrassingly measly compared to where a person lives himself, that's an embarrassment. So on the one hand, we see from these descriptions, it takes a lot of plates. It takes a lot of guts to blame such severe tzaras on such a thing. And the people that we're quoting are not people to be taken lightly, aren't people who shoot their mouths off. The Maral says in Gur Aryeh and Parshas Balak that one of Bilam came to curse Klal Yisrael. What Bilam wanted to do, the ultimate goal of Bilam, as we all know, was to wipe Klal Yisrael off the face of the earth. That's what Bilam wanted. That was the goal, to destroy Klal Yisrael. And he said what Bilam did to try to accomplish that goal was he tried to curse Klal Yisrael. What was the curses? So we don't see in Chumash, we don't see Bilam's curses. We don't see that. We just see the brachas that Hashem changed the curses into. But we know that if we examine the brachas that Hashem changed the curses into, by inference, we can understand that the opposite of whatever brachas are there, that's what Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. And one of the brachas that Bilam said against his will was Ma Tovu Ayalecha Yaakov. How good, how wonderful are your tents, Yaakov. And the Medrash understands I remember specifically the Tanit of Eliyahu. It says Elu Bate Knesiyos Ubate Midrashos. The Ayalecha, your tents, you know, Ma Tovu Ayalecha, the good tents of Klal Yisrael. That's the shuls and the Bate Midrashos of Klal Yisrael. So the Maral says, we see from there, we can infer from there, that what Bilam wanted to do was he wanted to destroy, to interrupt the Kedusha of Shuls. However he, I don't know how he intended to do that, but however he intended to do that, he was focusing on, in the Maral's words, on separating Klal Yisrael from their Shuls. Because that's where the Shechina rests. So there's a lesson to us from that if someone who wants to destroy Klal Yisrael, wants to get the Shechina out of the shuls, or the Yidden out of the shuls, wants to separate Lahafrid, Hashchina mi Yisrael, to separate the Shechina from Klal Yisrael, so that's a very smart thing for us to make sure we're very good at, for our Kiyum. If the way to destroy us is to separate us from our shuls, then it would make sense that the way to be Mekayim us, the way to strengthen us, the way to build Klal Yisrael is by enhancing the connection between Klal Yisrael and their shuls. I'm just thinking, I'm going to think aloud a little bit. The Pasuk says, you should keep Shabbos, And you should have awe from a base medrash, for base HaKnesses, according to the way we're learning now. What's the connection between Shabbos and Shul? So the Mefarshim bring Bepashtus, that Shabbos is when you really have to be careful about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, because that's when everyone's in Shul. And that's when people spend time in Shul. And most of the lack of respect that happens to a Shul happens on Shabbos. So therefore the Pasuk puts the two together. Keep Shabbos, which means you're going to probably land up in Shul. Be careful about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And Shav Saizei Teshmeru, or Mekadashi Tiro. But I imagine that there's something deeper over here. That the Pasuk is not just telling me a practical thing. Oh, it happens to me, you're going to be in Shul, so the Pasuk puts the two things together. You shouldn't have to flip pages in the Chumash to find the halacha about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The Pasuk ends off, another part of the Pasuk that we've been ignoring, Es Shabsoisai Teshmayro, keep my Shabbos, Umekadoshi Tiro, have awe from my base Hamedrash, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. That's something that I imagine that we all know, that Hashem is Hashem. And yet the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am Hashem. Rashi says, I am Hashem who rewards people who serve me properly. I want to suggest maybe another pshat. I think that if we reorient, if we reevaluate, reframe, I think is the modern word, to reframe our understanding of the mitzvah of having awe from a Beis HaKnesses, we have to move it out of this obscure corner where it's just one of the halachas of things we have to do, and move it more to the center of our hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I mean is like this. We said yesterday in Kedusha, Kvaydai Malay Olam. The covet of Hashem fills the world. And we don't see that the covet of Hashem fills the world. As a matter of fact, very often we see the opposite. But we're told, and we're taught, that's because we're blind. And we don't see that the reality is that the honor, the glory, the Kedusha of Hashem fills the entire world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides it from us. In a base Avodah Zarah, let's say, in a church or something like that, where there's a distorted sense of Avodah, it's really hidden. Or let's say in the Nefesh HaChaim's example, in a base Akisei, or a place where you're not allowed to think and learning, or you're not allowed to daven, the covet of Hashem is really hidden. It's so hidden that we're not allowed to learn there, we're not allowed to daven there. In Chutz La'aretz, Mamish, not like Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael the Kedusha of Hashem is a little bit more revealed. But the difference between the places that have more Kedusha and less Kedusha is not that certain places have more presence of Hashem and certain places have less presence of Hashem, but rather it's that in certain places Hashem allows us to see His covet more, and in certain places Hashem hides His covet better. But the reality is, Kvaydai Malay Olam. And the same thing is true in time. Every day is full of the covet of Hashem. Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. But because the week is a week of Sheishas Yavim Tavoid, of being involved in Olam Hazeh, V'yosafta Digonecha, V'siroishcha V'yitzarecha, to be involved in Parnassa, in being amongst the Goyim, in being out there, rolling up our sleeves, it's less revealed to us the Kedusha of time, the Kedusha of every moment. When Shabbos comes, Shabbos is not that now the time has Kedusha, but now we're privy to the Kedusha that's in time. Every minute is Kaddish, because everything that Hashem does and everything that Hashem creates is Kaddish. Every minute is Kaddish, but Hashem hides it from us for 6 days. And one day of the week, and on Yantif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls off the lid, takes off the sunglasses, and we see more clearly the Kedusha that's Memale Zman. Time and place. Shabbos and Beis HaMikdash. The Shabbos is the time, not that there's laws of having, this time is holy. We have to reframe it. Shabbos is the time that we get to see the true Kedusha of Zman. The true holiness of time. That's Shabbos. That's in time. And in place, the Mikdash is not a place that there's laws that we have to have more awe from a Beis HaMikdash, or from a Beis HaMedrash, or from a shul. But rather, the shul is a place where it's revealed to us the true Kedusha of the whole world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet fills the world. I think it's possible that we have a little bit more of a taste, I still don't have it 100%, but a little bit more of an appreciation of a Gemara in Yevamos, that the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, you should have awe from the Beis HaMikdash. You might think that you have awe from the actual Beis HaMikdash. No, since it says it next to Shabbos, and we know that on Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos is that we have awe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we learn from there that the awe that we have is not from the Beis HaMikdash itself, but from the one who commanded us to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara says. Loimi mikdash after misyora. You don't have fear from awe from the mikdash itself. Elami misha hizir ala mikdash. You have awe from the one who warned us and who gave us azharas about the mikdash. Trying to figure out, what does this Gemara want? Like, what was the Havamina? What's the Maskana? What did I think? I thought I'm afraid of the bricks. What did I think before? Then now you tell me, no, I'm not afraid of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm afraid of the one who commanded me about the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, what did I think before? What do I think now? I just can't. The Rambam brings this and has a halacha. It brings a halacha. What's going on over here? I think perhaps what we're discussing now is a little bit, makes the Gemara a little bit, sounds a little better, rings a little truer to us. Don't have awe from the Beis HaMikdash because God designated it as a holy place. Have awe from the Beis HaMikdash because that's where you get to experience Hashem. In other words, not because Hashem gave that place Kedusha, but because Hashem is there. That's where Hashem revealed Himself to us. It's not that Hashem said, this place that doesn't have Kedusha, this place does. From Hashem Himself. Hashem is telling you, that's where I am. If that's the case, it brings to a much more central focus the whole concept of treating a shul with respect, which we've all grown up, we're almost sick from it already, hearing people scream and yell about the Kedusha of a shul and not talking in shul and so on and so forth. But a little bit, I feel like if we reframe it, if we understand where it's coming from, we realize why people have said such strong words about the Kedusha of a shul. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebara'anu L'chvaydeh. We say every morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to reveal His honor. That's what we're doing here. Our goal and our job in this world and everything that we do, b'chol derechecha da'eyu, and everything that we do, our job and our goal is to reveal Hashem's honor. And there's a place that Hashem's honor is more revealed. What does it say about us if we don't recognize the Kedusha of that place? What does that say about our whole mission in life? Our whole goal is k'vaydei malei olam, the covet of Hashem fills the whole world. But there's a place, Hashem says, where it's much more easily accessible, where the covet of Hashem is there. Mimi shehizir al hamikdash, the one who warned us about the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is there. That's a place where it's not so hidden, the covet of Hashem. To not respect that place, it's the opposite of our whole job in this world. Our job is to spread the presence of Hashem, not to hide it. We said before that the pasuk is repeated twice. It's repeated in Parshas Kedoshim, and it's repeated in Parshas Bahar. It's said in Parshas Kedoshim and repeated in Parshas Bahar. So one of the reasons that's brought for the repetition is because Rashi brings, actually, Rashi and the pasuk in Parshas Bahar brings, that the pasuk in Parshas Bahar, before it, was talking about, unfortunately, if a Jew is sold as a slave to a guy. And it's saying that you might think that just like your goy is not mekayem mitzvahs, you also shouldn't be mekayem mitzvahs. So it says, as Shavsoise Tishmayru Mikdashi Tiro, as two examples, like repeating the warning, that even though you're employed by somebody who doesn't keep any mitzvahs, you still have to be careful. As Shavsoise Tishmayru Mikdashi Tiro. It's a little bit interesting that it picks these two examples, especially since Mikdashi Tiro, it's questionable b'chlal, someone who sold to a guy would ever be able to walk into the Beis HaMikdash for sure, but even a shul. We're talking about someone who was sold to a guy. I would have said, you know, not to hurt people, and, you know, two mitzvahs that are possible anywhere a person is, to love Hashem. So I don't know, in pshat, and in the sugya, it's worth trying to figure out exactly why we learn from these two mitzvahs. But I was thinking along the lines of the Mefarshim everywhere that discuss the inyan of avdus, the inyan of being a slave. For example, we just came out of Mitzrayim a few days ago. The concept we know of being a slave does not just involve physical enslavement. It's not just a physically being a slave, but it also involves, and perhaps more so, sometimes our spiritual enslavement. When we're a slave to our impulses, a slave to our desires, a slave to our yetzahara, and it knocks us around and pushes us in directions we don't want to go. That's also slavery. And when a person manages to come out from the shackles of his yetzahara and to be in control, that's going out free. And I was wondering if there's a little bit of a remez here, that if a yid is sold to a guy, meaning a yid who's under the shackles of the Gaiusha world, who's under the shackles of a Yetzihara, who's under the shackles of a Gaiusha society, he's Nimka La'akum. There's two keys to freedom, Shabbos and Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. There's two keys to remind us that Kvaydei Malay Olam, the Kavod of Hashem, fills the world. And that's the beginning. That's the beginning of getting out from the Yetzirah, to recognize the presence of Hashem. The first halach and Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Leneg Bisamet. I place Hashem in front of me always. Recognizing the presence of Hashem, that's the beginning of my freedom. So that's maybe a remez under the surface of what's going on. Someone who's Nimkar La'akum means he's sold, he's subservient to a Goyisha society. Es Shabsoisai Tishmarim. U'mikdashi tiro, and that's the end of the pasuk. Ani Hashem. That's going to remind you that I'm Hashem. That's going to remind you that I'm here. Ani Hashem. And I feel like this is even stronger for us that we don't live in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a concept of Kedushas HaMakom. We don't have a concept of Eretz Yisrael is holy. We don't have a concept of Kedushas HaMakom if we don't have a concept of the Kedusha of a shul. With this in mind, I hear much stronger that tremendous tzaras can happen, chas v'shalom, for not recognizing the Kedusha of a shul, because that's the beginning. There's a Hashem in the world. Hashem's presence is in this world. That's the key. U'mikdashi tiro. So there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim, siman Kufnun Aleph, that the title of the siman is Dinei Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And the Mechaber says, Batei Knesiyos u'batei Midrashos, Ein Noyagim Bohem Kalos Rosh. You're not allowed to, any lightheadedness, laughing, joking is not appropriate for a shul. He goes, Schoik v'hitul, and then comes this unbelievable thing. V'sicha b'teila, and talking. I struggled with this very much. I read this halacha like, you're actually not allowed to talk in the shul. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It could be, I struggle to try to find a heter for rabbeim or for people who are helping people in their ruchnias, that type of talking might not be considered sicha b'teila. Even if they're not always talking about learning, but we know very often a rebbe sits with his Talmidim or with the Talmud in a Beis Medrash and discusses things that are not relevant to learning, but it could be that's not Sicha B'Teila because the ultimate goal is to bring closer to Ruchnius. Mishnah Berurah says straight, Sicha B'Teila, even, let's say, talk of, let's say, business, which is mutter. Stam to talk about nothing, Mishnah Berurah says, is not mutter anyway. But let's say, to discuss Parnassah, we have to make a Parnassah. So that's mutter. In a Beis HaKnesses, it's Aser. And he says, and Stam Shmoozing anyway is a good idea not to do. You're not allowed to eat in a shul or drink in a shul. A Beis Medrash is different. A Beis Medrash is different, especially for those who learn there a lot, or for those even who don't learn there the whole day, but it'll be a bit tired for them, and it's shter for their learning. Sometimes a person needs a coffee while he's learning. Rav Avadi Yosef says on this person needs a cigarette while he's learning. He writes. So even though he says smoking in a Beis HaKnesses is a design for the Beis HaKnesses, just like Achila and Shesia, he says, but for someone who's mamish addicted, he can't stop, and he probably won't be able to concentrate, so then it's like Achila v'daychik, and it's mutter. I don't think it would be mutter for us, because in our society, in our culture, it's not appropriate. If someone would go into an office, imagine someone wants to hire someone. Someone walks into a place to get hired, and while the potential employer is talking to them, the guy pulls out a cigarette. It's over. It's not appropriate. So if that's not appropriate, it's definitely not appropriate in a shul. But in Eretz Yisrael and Befrat years ago, when the tshuva was written, it was considered much more mainstream, much more appropriate to pull out a cigarette. It used to be ashtrays in every living room, years and years ago. So he's matir b'daychik. And this is something that I realize that I'm very guilty of. I have to change the way I act. V'loy metaylim bohem. You're not allowed to take walks in a Beis Medrash. It's very often if someone has something to think about, it's not in learning, it's a bright, big room, you're there anyway, walk up and down, walk around. It's very pleasant. Walk around the Beis Medrash. You have to talk to someone, the Beis Medrash is empty, you're in yeshiva, the Beis Medrash is empty, walk up and down the aisles of the Beis Medrash. Ein mitaylin b'hem. Throne room. You don't walk around the throne room. And cheshbainis, he goes on, cheshbainis, and this also, like, we sit in Beis Medrash, people who sit for Siddurim in the Beis Medrash, we get comfortable in a Beis Medrash. So when we get comfortable in a Beis Medrash, we like balance out a checkbook in the Beis Medrash, make cheshbonos for how much things are going to cost. It's considered a kalos roish, the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch brings. You're not allowed to balance a checkbook in a Beis Medrash. This Shabbos, I was by the Shabbos Sheva Bracha, so the Chassan's father has been a Rav for many, many, many years. I don't remember how it came up, but he said that he was a Rav somewhere else, not where he is now, but he was a Rav somewhere else about 25 years ago or something. And when he first became Rav, the first Shabbos he was there, said there was so much talking in shul by davening, that there was mamash crosstalk from one side of the shul to the other over the bima during Kriyas HaTorah. It was incredible, just incredible, he couldn't believe it. So he tried to quiet them down a few times. So you can imagine this young, new Rav, nervously trying to get everyone quiet. What's he supposed to do? It's ridiculous, out of hand. So he says that someone came over to him and said, you know, Rabbi, this is not a conservative temple. You know, but the conservative Judaism, you know, is decorum and a shul. We hold not that way, like it's a shita. We hold not that way, like us it's Hamish. We're at home, put up... Shul is more welcoming place. It's kishmak, you know, relax. That was the story. And it was fascinating that when I was learning, I went to yeshiva in the afternoon to learn this sugya a little bit, I found that Shuvah's Chassam Sefer, an unbelievable tshuva. The Chassam Sefer says, because it brought up the chalva idea, like, how do goyim act in a church? I have never been in a church, but my impression is that it's a very solemn, like, awed atmosphere. It's quiet. I don't imagine it's like big schmoozing in a church. It's just not my picture. The Chassam Sefer is a tshuva like this. He says there was a need to dismantle a shul. There was some kind of problem with it, that it was dangerous or something. They found sometimes a hazard. They had to dismantle a shul. And they wanted to rebuild it. the way they wanted to rebuild it was that the courtyard, you know, where the kids play and people gather, will be the place where the Aron Kodesh used to be. That's how they wanted to rebuild it. And the Shiloh that was sent to him, it was written to him, was if it's mutter to do it that way, do you have to keep the place of the Aron Kodesh, the place of the Aron Kodesh? Sometimes it's more convenient to have a library to turn into a Beis Medrash. You don't have to worry about where the Aron Kodesh was. It's free, it's open. So he writes back, I think he says it's Aser. My impression, I think he says it's Aser. The last paragraph he says, and by the way, he says, your son, who's my Talmud, said a very good point. He said that even if it was mutter, it's still Aser. Why? Because Goyim would never do that. Goyim, he says, I know, and he quotes the name of a city that he once went to, and he saw the churva of an old church, and they cordoned it off, and they made a monument out of it, and people don't walk there. You know, it's like the footsteps of Ground Zero. You know, we're not building there. You don't walk there. Ad mas kodesh, you know, kaviyachol. Lahavdo. So he says, if Goyim have an appreciation of the fact that the place where their place of worship is a place that should not be walked around on, for us to make a courtyard on the place where we used to worship, he says, here we are trying to be Mekayim v'nekdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, to create Kedusha, and in the end we're going to be Mekayim v'lo yisachalalu etzrem kachi. That's what he writes. Because Mamish, what this Rav told me, that if we see that Goyim have such a concept in their house of worship, a certain type of decorum, it's a chilul Hashem for us to act otherwise. And I've added that's true also with other distorted, misled forms of Yiddishkeit. Maybe even more true, because there's more of a chance that someone who's not so religious, or someone who's not so close to her, would walk into our Beis Medrash, walk into our Beis Knesses, and see that the way we act in a Beis Knesses is not the way they act by him. We don't have as much of an appreciation. That could be a tremendous chilul Hashem. Another thing that I found that was very interesting was the concept of, this is something that's it's a big struggle. I'm not taking sides in this struggle. It's a very, very big struggle because we try to be very, very good husbands. And part of being a very, very good husband is that if we have to go to shul, we take our kids with us. That's sometimes part of being a very good husband. But it's always a struggle because you don't really know how the kid is going to act in shul. And, you know, at a certain age, it's adarab, it's chinuch to bring a kid to shul, but at a certain age, it could be a tremendous disturbance. The kid wears a diaper, it's b'chlal l'kasha, b'chlal not so pashut. It could create a situation in Allah Adavim there. So the Shlah writes, he says, Sichas yiladim b'beis ha-knesses iser gadol. It's an iser gadol to have children schmoozing. Sometimes we have kids, you know, running around up and down the aisles, onto the stage, you know. It's an iser gadol, he says. I'm going to write down some divrei musar that I found in a certain sefer. And boy, whoever he's quoting here knows how to give musar. There's a gemara in Chagiga, a famous gemara, that says that why do we bring children to the Beis HaMikdash? Taf lama boim, kidei liten schar l'meviyehen, to give schar to the ones who bring them. That's such a thing. And the Taisu says over there, for that, that's why I was smart that we bring ketanim l'Beis HaGnesses. So this person writes, Omar Menachem, Bizman hazeh yesh taf bo l'Beis HaKnesses l'seish oynish l'meviyehen. There are some people who bring their children to get punished. Their children come to get punished. Because it comes to be mechal kedushas beis elokeinu, and they play with it like in the streets, and they get up to laugh with it. L'tzachek zeh em zeh. He mamish no kids. This guy obviously had a bunch of kids. Listen to the Zeh mitzachek im zeh, v'zeh makeh es zeh. This one plays with, laughs at this one hits that one. Zeh meranein, this one is joyful, v'zeh boicheh, and this one is crying. Zeh medaber, this one is talking, v'zeh tzayek, this one is screaming. Zeh rotz eilech, this one is running in this direction. Zeh rotz eilech, and this one is running the other direction. Rotz likras, rotz yoros, one kid is running, another kid runs after him. He says sometimes the father gives a kid a sefer, he throws it down to the ground, and he rips it up into pieces. And he says the bottom line is that people can't daven. It's hard for people to daven. He says a mashal is, imagine if a person had a servant, and the servant was a shaita, and he could do all kinds of crazy things. You know, someone has a member, or sometimes we don't hire servants that are shaitas, but sometimes, you know, loyalenu, people have even members of their family that are not 100% balanced, and they act foolish. Imagine if you have to go meet the president. Would you bring this person along with you? The president could start dancing around and doing who knows what. And you're a little nervous, like you'll leave him at home. You have to be presentable. He says, you don't bring a shaita to the Beis HaMelech. And he says, children, young children that don't know how to act in shul, Avad and Mirza Hashem will grow up to have an appreciation for shul, but right now they're bevchinas shaita. And it's a kilkul, he says, for much longer than just the time that they're kids. Because once a kid already learns to be comfortable in a shul, for me it's a struggle. I have children that are very, very, very comfortable in a yeshiva. When I grew up, I didn't know what a yeshiva was. I came with awe, shy, like, to come into a yeshiva. There's bachrim learning there, big guys. It was like an awesome experience. But my kids are growing up, like, the yeshiva is like, you know, it's part of the, it's like an extension of the house almost. And a little bit there's a chisar, there's something that needs to be watched carefully, that they should, at some point in their life, recognize it's a yeshiva. It's kedusha, there's awe. This is a yeshiva. To treat it a certain way. I hope when they're 13, 14, they're still not going to sit on the blue chairs next to their own kaddish. So just bringing a mashal to things that we have to rethink when we get up to the pasuk of Es Mikdashi Tiro, to rethink that, and again, it's hard for me to take sides, I don't know what to say. You know, our wives want us to bring the kids to shul. But I would say that it's possible, someone has to ask a shayla, it's possible that it's better to stay home and watch the kids at home, or to bring the kids and to daven in, let's say, in this room or something, outside the church, that at least you're in shul, and if they're quiet, you can run out or something. But the idea of having a kid screaming and yelling in the middle of Shemang Esri, I don't think there's a heter for that. And the Gemara says that Batei Knesias and Batei Midrashas Sheba Bavel, that the shuls and Beis Medrashas of Bavel, when Mashiach comes, are going to uproot themselves and go to Eretz Yisrael. I imagine that it's true that the more we're Megala, the more we reveal the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses, and we focus on it, whether it's in Musar, in appreciating the presence of Hashem, whether it's in Halacha, maybe we should start minimizing what we do in a shul or Beis Medrash, or how we act, or even how we feel about it. The more Kedusha we give the Beis HaKnesses, the more ready the Batei Knesias are going to be to go join the Beis HaMikdash and to be transported to Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael.